It is good to be here. Thanks, Ken, for reading those verses and for welcoming us here so warmly. I find it interesting when I look at the verse that's in your bulletin and when I listen to the story being read that Jesus' philosophy of life seemed to be quite different than what ours often is. We kind of sit back on our couch with a remote in one hand and maybe a cup of coffee in the other and flick through the channels and wait for a sinner to come to us so that we can tell them the way of salvation so they can be saved, right? Well, Jesus did it just the other way. Jesus came to seek. That means he went out first to seek and then to save what was lost. So if we're alert to the Spirit, if we're open to what he's telling us even today, then maybe we can reverse our philosophy of life, maybe change the direction a bit, and get on board with what he wants to do. A suicidal woman stood on a bridge in Seattle for 3 hours, contemplating jumping. The situation created such a huge traffic jam that some of the motorists who were waiting to get by, they got angry at her. They began to curse the woman and screamed at her, "Just jump already." She eventually did, but she survived the 160-foot fall into the canal. Many of the residents later sent flowers and cards to her in the hospital, apologizing for what had happened. They felt so bad about the way the motorist had treated her. But some of the drivers who had been frustrated in their vehicles later phoned the local newspaper and blamed the woman for not choosing a less traveled path to end her life. Do it somewhere else where it doesn't interfere with my life. This woman had serious needs. Most of us meet people every single day who have serious needs. But rarely is it convenient for us to stop to pay attention to help the way people need to be helped. People are pleading for help. Maybe not literally in those words, but they're calling out for help in one way or another. And they need our love. They need the love of Jesus through us. But it means that we have to interrupt our own precious schedules in order to do that. And that's where we run into problems. Because I have my own thing to do. Because the Vitans, as I've up teach, right? I do my thing, you do yours. And yet, what does Jesus want? As we read the Gospels, we quickly notice that Jesus was constantly mobbed by needy people. It was almost impossible for Jesus to be alone somewhere. They were always coming from all directions. They wanted help, they wanted food, they wanted healing, they wanted one thing or another, because the needs are so great and so many. And again, he set aside his own plans and he met the needs of the people. He took time for them. And when we look at his example, we can be inspired and encouraged to do the same. Excuse me. The text for today is out of Luke 19, 1 to 10. I would encourage you to turn there and to follow along. Thanks again for reading those verses. It's a very, very familiar story. Most of us probably know it from memory. We've heard it so many times. But I picked these verses because I believe God has a lesson in it for us. They give us an overview of how Christ spent his time and his energy as he walked on this earth. They tell of the attitude he had to those around him. And they can tell us what kind of attitude we need to have as we follow Christ. Zacchaeus was one of those men. He had maybe a body about this tall, 4.5 to 5 feet tall is what most people would suggest. But the needs in his heart and in his life were as big as Goliath. He had huge needs. And yet, wouldn't you know that most people, they didn't really care about this Zacchaeus man. He was one of those deserters. He was one of those, you can do your own thing because you betrayed the Jewish people kind of thing. He was a tax collector. He was a sinner in the eyes of the people back then. So who would take time out for a guy like that? Not a chance. And along comes this Jesus. And he saw the little man, but even more importantly, he saw the needs burning in his heart. Yeah, Jesus probably knew about what this guy had all done. He probably had heard the reports. Just look to the local Jericho newspaper every day. But Jesus saw his heart, and he directed his attention to meeting that man's greatest need, his need for love and acceptance. And isn't that the need that you and I have? And isn't that the need that the homeless guy in Morden has, and that the poor widow has who can barely feed her children? And there are numerous people, numerous families all over the place who really, really need our help. More importantly, they need God. And that's where we come in. When people feel our love for them, then they will hear what we have to say. You know, it should not surprise us at all that Jesus said, "By your love for one another, you will be recognized as my children." We spent 5 years in shipyard in Belize doing ministry with the old colony Mennonites. We saw so very, very many needs, physical needs of the people. There are people there so poor you can't even imagine that. When people live, families with 13 kids live off of $400 to $500 a month. That's Belize dollars. That's $200 US a month. That means they have to scrimp and scrounge and sometimes steal whatever they can just to be able to feed their family. And many times when I met the people, they said they had not had breakfast or lunch that day when I met those kids somewhere or I met the man. And there are a lot of people like that. Looking back now, we notice that, yeah, they had huge physical needs. But their greatest need is still not food. It is still not shelter and clothing and a better job. Their greatest need will always be Jesus. Their greatest need will always be his love and his forgiveness. And that should be our driving factor in everything we do. I notice now that often our focus was in the wrong place. We saw the people on the outside. We saw their old clothing, their shabby clothes, their poor house, what we wouldn't even call a house. And we were too sidetracked with that. And I'm sure we missed a lot of good opportunities to share the love of God. We were often so busy with projects and things that loving and caring, the way Jesus loved and cared, it lagged behind. It's sad, but it's true. But I am grateful to God. He not only calls people into the harvest, to work, but he gives them everything they need to do what he calls them to do. So every once in a while we noticed, hey, we're off track. We would repent. God forgives. He's faithful. He would give us new direction and we'd start again. And he still does that. He did that to me yesterday. He does it today. And he'll do it tomorrow if we're still here. That's just how gracious and loving God is. God works with us. He molds us. He draws us to himself. He wants us to become that perfect reflection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That means we have to go and he has to come. Our old has to be destroyed. The new has to have place number one. There are so many ways to show love for one another. It doesn't have to be complicated. A simple bowl of soup to a hungry soul can be the open door to share the greater need, which is love, the love of Jesus. We found that often the people with the greatest needs physically were also the most open to visitation, to hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've had numerous invitations. Can you come visit us? Can you come visit us? People we didn't even know. They had to come by dark because otherwise the neighbors would find out and report them to the elders. So they came at night when it was dark. They came and visited and then they said, could you come visit us? The needs are truly plentiful, but the workers are very few. I remember visiting the home of a large family, which for several reasons was very poor. It was close to Christmas, and so we packed a number of goodie boxes, the way we would describe it, groceries, a few Christmas gifts, things that the family could use that they probably would not be able to afford on their own. We did some of those goodie boxes from our church in Shipyard, and the Blue Creek Church, which is only about 22 miles away, they got a bunch of those ready. They brought them to us and they said, you probably know the needs better than we do. You distribute them. We visited this home, and as I unloaded the boxes out of the back of our van, the kids came and they took the boxes and went inside. There was one thing in particular that really, really touched my heart. They had a teenage girl about 17 or 18 years old. She was very excited as she stood there and watched this whole thing happening. But then she caught a glimpse of two frozen chickens in one of the boxes. I don't think I'll ever forget her reaction. She grabbed those two chickens, one in each hand. She lifted them out of the box. She ran inside. Mom, Mom, now we can have our favorite Christmas dinner. She was ecstatic about being able to have chicken noodle soup for Christmas dinner. She was as excited with those two chickens as most teenagers would be about a new four-wheeler or, I don't know, what tickles your soul. I had never, ever seen anybody so happy and so excited about two chickens. That only reminded me of how great their needs truly were. Most of us here are so rich and probably quite spoiled. And most likely so busy with ourselves that we don't take the time we should for our neighbors. I have seen people get very excited about having their own Bible in Low German. For the first time ever, they could read and understand what the Bible said. Many of them had never had a Bible. And for sure, most of them had never been able to understand a word they read. And once people caught on to how simple it was to read the Low German Bible, and how easily they could understand what they read, it usually took only one day, and they came back. They said, "Do you have anything else for us to read?" There was one lady in particular. She had not a very good background. She came back a couple of days after we had given her her Bible, and she says, "I can just hardly do my work. I would just spend all day reading if I just could." People started coming back. "Do you have devotional booklets? We would love to read with our children." "Well, what do you give them? How many Low German books have you seen on the shelf?" That was our problem in Belize too. What do you give them? So we said, surely there has to be a way that we can help these people. So we prayed about it more. We started translating more. We started emailing and writing letters and saying, is there anything that we can give these people? People started sending cassette tapes with Low German messages. Well, we had had those in circulation already for a while. They started sending more. There was more Low German music available. They started sending those. And only recently has it now begun, have people begun to write books or to translate books. So we did quite a bit of that too. Because they just wanted more and more and more, and there was so little to give them. But we believe that God has called us into a ministry of music and translation work. And with His help, we will get more material ready for those people. And so we wait His leading to see where He's going to take us with that. But back to this story of Zacchaeus. The story of Jesus. Did you notice that Jesus was not actually planning to stop for Zacchaeus? It doesn't say in verse 1 that Jesus entered Jericho and was going to Zacchaeus' house. It doesn't read that way. He was actually on his way to Jerusalem. You know what was happening in Jerusalem? Jesus had told his disciples already a few times, "I'm going to Jerusalem. I will be handed over. I will be killed." But they didn't get it. And in fact, Peter rebuked him, said, "No way. That doesn't work that way, Lord. Change of plans." Jesus was on his way somewhere else to do something else. But for the time being, he just kind of put that on the shelf and he said, "Okay, this man needs help. We'll give him help." Jesus reached out in love and he touched one soul where he needed the most. And the result was that the angels in heaven rejoiced. That's what he's wanting for you and me. There are many Zacchaeuses in our day who long to see Jesus. There are many people very close to us, most likely, who have needs so great that only God can meet those needs. But the interesting thing is, he's waiting for you and me to do it. He gave us the hands, and he gave us the feet and the mouth. And we need to go and to meet those needs, the need for Jesus' love. People try all sorts of different ways to meet their needs, to find love, to find acceptance. And sadly, a great many people never, ever get to see Jesus. Is it because we are too busy? A 60-year-old man was rethinking his life of long ago, and he was commenting on how things had changed. So people asked him, well, what has changed the most? What makes it so different from then to now? He said, people don't care anymore. Then he said, my mom used to, every day, she would cook a big pot of food, whatever it was, soup, stew, whatever they had, every day. Enough for the family, plus another whole big batch for somebody else. She had no idea who. But she said, every day, or this man said, every day, guaranteed, close to lunchtime, they would start showing up. People came from all over the place. She had never seen them before. She had no clue who they were, but they would show up, and she would feed them. Homeless travelers. Once she asked a man how he happened to find his way to her house. Like, how do you even know about this? The man said very quickly and very plainly, he said, your address is written on every single boxcar wall. Where there is love, people will know. What do people say about you and me? We are the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out in love to those around us. Or flip that around, or are we? We should be. The question is, are we? Jesus depends on us to reach out as he did. Do we, like our Lord, have the love and the compassion to bring help and healing to those who are hurting right next to us? Does your heart break for the things that break the heart of God? There are so many around us, so many hurting people, so many needs. Many people long for someone who will care. Do you care? Let's remember Jesus and Zacchaeus. Let's love them like Christ loved them. Let's remember that compassion never goes out of fashion. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, you are so gracious and so loving and so forgiving, so merciful. We fall so far short of your plan, of your wish for our lives, of your desire for us to go out and be the light, share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, please forgive us. So often we are so lazy, so caught up with our own things, and we neglect the most important things. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. God, fill us anew with your love and your compassion and your grace to go out to be the witnesses you call us to be every day. Show us where and how to love the way you loved. And help us each day to learn to love like you. For we ask it in your holy and precious name. Amen.